Before I share, I would like to just say a few words concerning my two little daughters, all right? I'm not usually that kind of a person that sits and every Sunday brags about my kids, okay? Because it can get annoying, I know, all right? But this one is very funny. So on Friday, we were sitting at the table ready to eat, and I asked my oldest daughter to pray, and I said, Eliana, would you pray? And lately, it's been very sweet. Her prayer has been, Lord, help me to be a Christian. And it just touches our hearts, right? And she decided to pray also for her younger sister. And if you know her, she's strong-willed. She's determined, kid. I don't know where she's getting all that from, all right? But she's a quote a hand. And then in the middle of the prayer, Eliana says, Lord, help me and Lanea to be Christians. And in that moment, Lanea just interrupts her and screams, no! And Eliana looks at her and says, fine, then heaven is not going to be your home. You're going to go to hell. And we just start laughing. They're 5 years old and they're 2 years old, all right? And they already understand or trying to understand what does it mean to be a Christian and what our destination is. Our destination is in two locations, either heaven or hell. And I pray that each one of us that are here today, our destination is heaven. Amen? And it's heaven. It's been a lot of things going through my mind this week while working and thinking about today. And I've been pondering about the Word of God and listening to the Word of God. And I would like to share with you some of the thoughts. I would like to keep this as simple as possible, but the title of my message would be, Is There Another Way? Is There Another Way? And so often, we can go through things in life. We face challenges in life, and we think, is there another way? Some people might even think, is there another way to get to heaven, right? But it's not, because Jesus says, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Is there another way? We face challenges in our life, and some of us might face more than others, but nevertheless, we all face challenges. We face pain, we face death, we face obstacles and challenges that come against us. Sometimes we can foresee them, often they come unexpectedly. It's unavoidable, it's part of our life, and it's part of our journey. And often when we plan our life and when we think that it's going to be just flowers and roses and everything is just going to be perfect in life, we find out that there's challenges and there's obstacles that we cannot get through in life on our own, but we need Jesus. And what a beautiful thing we have as Christians, the hope in Jesus Christ. This hope that comes from the Word of God, this hope that when we gather together, we encourage each other, as when the brothers in 2 weeks, or when they're going to go to that cabin and they're going to be sharing the hope that they have in common, is going to lift us up and encourage us to go further and further with the Lord. Amen? And you might wonder in your life that, is there another way? Maybe you're just receiving a phone call from the doctor, or you face a challenge in your family, or maybe somebody just brought you some news, and or maybe your kids are not where they should be in your opinion, and you're thinking about yourself and that I failed in some areas, and you're wondering, could there be another way? Could there be another way? Why is it in that person it seems like everything is perfect? We look at our neighbor and we want to have what they have. When we see them smile and full of joy, we wish we were like that. But we fail to understand that they go through the same things we go in life. We just tend to see the best of them at times. But all of our lives, either you're a believer or are not a believer, we face challenges. We face pain. We face disappointment. We face things in our life that we as Christians, we run to Jesus Christ to help us. And that's why we have hope as Christians. And that's why this good news, the gospel, is offered to people. In the midst of sin and despair, Jesus Christ brings hope. Do you know that God knows how much you can carry, and He won't allow you to carry more than you can go through? And so often it seems like I can't take another day. It seems like I'm just gonna crack and I'm not gonna be able to have the strength to go forward. And you might say, maybe that person has the strength to go through, but I don't. Maybe, just maybe, that other person seems a little more spiritual or a little more strong. Why can't they deal with these things in their life, but it seems like everything is just me? Have you felt being in a season like that, that it just seems like it's just you, everybody else is perfect, and it's just you that are dealing with circumstances in your life that you wish that you would share your burdens with others? But you see, Jesus will never allow me and you to go through things more than we can carry. And the fact and the truth is that He is there actually to help me and you to go forward and not backwards. He is there to give us strength. He is there to help us. He is there to comfort us. And He is there to embrace us. He is there. That's why He's not just letting us to go alone and do what we want, but He's saying, every step of your way, I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. This verse is such a powerful verse, and it sounds so good when everything seems like it's good in our life. We quote this verse. We encourage other people that He will never leave you or forsake you. He's there with you, and we feel so good. But then when challenges come, when pain comes, disappointment or failure, we feel alone. And this verse comes just a story for somebody else. But what about me? But I want to tell you, this verse is just as powerful when everything is well in your life, when everything is actually upside down. It's just as powerful both ways. Sometimes we might not feel it, but it's the Christian walk is not about the feelings, even though they're so good, even though they're needed, even though we are made, we have emotions, but we are not moved by feelings, but we are to stand on the truth and the Word of God that gives us life and purpose. You see, Jesus and His disciples, they were walking on the streets of Jerusalem. They were preaching the gospel, the good news, and often people had an opinion or a perception what the life of Jesus should be. Especially the Jewish people, they were waiting for Messiah, and they were waiting for this day, for them to be free from the Roman Empire, for them to be able to rule and reign. And finally, Jesus is born and He's preaching the good news, and they're thinking, this is it. This is it. And then it comes a moment when Jesus begins to share about the suffering that He is to be partaking in. He's sharing about His life. He's sharing about His death. He's sharing about how He's gonna die on a cross, and the purpose for that is to redeem and to save me and you. And a lot of people did not like that. They wanted war. They wanted to go by power, by strength. They wanted to figure everything out on their own mentality. There was a lot of wise people. There were a lot of smart people in those days. And they thought that everything is pre-calculated how they should be. Even to this day, there are people that are trying to rule and reign and do all those things in their own strength. But it's Jesus Christ who rules and reigns. Aren't you glad and happy for that? And Jesus is sharing that, listen, if you're not gonna come to the cross and believe in me, if you're not gonna come and partake from this bread, from this flesh, and from this blood, which is a type of the communion that we do today, it is actually, it's coming together and understanding the need of salvation and partaking from this life that was offered on the cross for me and you when we were lifeless, when we were dead in sin. He chose me and you, and He loved us with everlasting love. And He's sharing all these things, and a lot of disciples says, I don't like what you're sharing. This message sounds pretty boring, depressing, and hopeless. I'm gone. In this day, they will say, peace out, right? I'm gone. I'm gonna go and search for what I have been searching for, a plan in my own strength and strategies that only can come from the human strength. But Jesus, sharing this gospel and sharing where life is found on a cross, he looks at his disciples and he says, then if you want to leave too, because a bunch of them left. Maybe hundreds or thousands, I don't know how many, but a bunch of them left. Do you want to leave too? Is this message offensive? Is this message offensive for you too? And Peter, as always, he opens his mouth. But this one actually is profound. And it's not profound because Peter came up with it, but Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but whom? The Heavenly Father. So this time he got it right, and this is what he says. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. In the midst of disappointment, in the midst of when the truth was being shared, many people got offended and left. In the midst of pain and confusion. And Jesus is giving the option. What about you? Do you still want to follow me? Even though in the moments when you do not understand fully what's going on, even in the moment when you do not see the picture, the full picture, are you willing to walk with me step by step? Are you willing to do this? Or you want to leave and follow the other disciples? And Peter got it. He says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Oh, there's so much life in Jesus Christ. There's so much fulfillment in his word. There's so much joy in his word. And often when we wonder, is there another way? Is there another way? No. Whatever what you're going through, God has a plan and a purpose for it. There is no other way. And if we can come to that understanding, instead of just wasting our strength and our energy to figure out if there is another way for our journey where we find ourselves in, instead of embracing this journey and saying, God, you are the source of life. In the midst of everything that I face, I come to you because you have eternal life. And you have not promised me an easy way, but you have promised me that you will be the way. And when I find myself on that journey, you will help me go through it and finish strong. Where should I go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. So many people, in moments of difficulties, in moments of pain, give up and give in. But someone once said, the pain of regret is far greater than the pain of going on. Often we think that only if I can just divert and find another way and cheat a little bit of my way, of the journey that I'm on, and kind of just pretend that everything is good. But you see, you're going to look back in life, and if you do not understand this principle of embracing the moments you're in right now and finding life in Jesus Christ, the pain of regret looking back is far greater than the pain of you just keep on going on. And I just want to encourage you to keep on going on. And no matter where you are finding yourselves in, keep on going on. Because Jesus Christ will give you, and you will find life and rest in him. I want to encourage you today, whatever faces you, keep your focus on the cross. Where you will find life. The book of James was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. This book was once one of the oldest or earliest books. Some even suggest that it was written before Stephen was martyred for the faith. He became an influential leader, and during the time where persecution arose and Christians in Jerusalem were scattered throughout the Roman world. And this is the season that James is writing this letter. And if you can be just thinking about that time where persecution is breaking out, the gospel is being shared, people are just being imprisoned and ridiculed for faith. And in this moment, James is writing this. In this context, in suffering, in pain, James is writing these words. And in the context of James writing these words, that we need to learn to profit from trials. Not to escape them, but to profit in trials and through trials. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says this, my brethren, count it all joy And you can stop over here and you're like, are you serious? What do you mean count all joy? Maybe count all to be maybe escaping, right? Or maybe all to run away. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And this is what James is talking to, the people that are in pain, distress, persecuted. And they're all just running for their lives and just seeking a purpose. And these people, they're just spread out to the Roman world. And James is talking to them, to the believers, to the brothers and sisters, and encouraging to them. And this is the encouraging word. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't know about you, but often when I go through trials, this is the last thing I want to do. I want to whine. I want to shut down. I want to hide. This is in our own strength or our personalities or as the emotions rise. This is what we tend to do as people. But he's talking about joy that is not of human. The supernatural joy that can only come from God. And this joy, he's talking to them to see the bigger picture, because it's only temporary, the trials that we face. It's not forever. They're only temporary. And here, I want to just emphasize that James is not saying, not if trouble comes to you or your way, but when it comes. He didn't say, my brethren, count it all joy if you fall in various trials. He didn't say that. But one of the key verses, words here, it says, when you fall into various trials, which indicates that all of us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will encounter pain in our life. We will encounter disappointment. We will encounter failure. We will encounter things in our life that we did not plan for, but they just come. But now he says, let's read in the context. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, see, he's putting the focus on the testing of your faith now, which means that through the obstacles we go, we are to get stronger in Christ. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, say with me, produces. You see, the challenges and things we go through life, they have to produce something. And they will produce something. It's either will produce a better person or a kind person. The challenges and things that we go in life will produce a product. It will produce something. It cannot be avoidable. It will produce something. But what is our attitude towards it will depend what the production is like. And here, James is reminding, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, I'm speaking to myself now. It has to produce this patience in our life. And then he says, but let patience, don't stop there, right? You're kind of like, I got the patience. Whew, I got that one, right? But then he says, no, verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. In different words, it's a continuous work. It never stops. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. James, are you saying to the people that are being in prison, the people that are being persecuted, the people that are being killed, are you telling them to count it all joy? Not if you go into trials, but when you go into trials. So in different words, James' goal is to actually train the people even before they go to trials to have a perspective of joy. And in this joy, it's found hope. And in this hope, it's found purpose, knowing that it will produce something. Me and you cannot escape trials, but we have control over what will it produce. Of the attitude that me and you have towards. The other day I was reading and it's so heartbreaking to know when Christians are walking with the Lord and when difficulties come in their life and trials come in their life, now they're posting that they're not believers anymore. You see? Because in the trials, in the moments of shifting, in the moments of hardships, in the moments of pain, it really shows how strong of believers we are. And that's why he's saying you have to prepare for hardships. You have to prepare for pain. You have to prepare with the concept of you have to find joy in it. And the joy can be found if you see a purpose in it. And this purpose, knowing that it produces patience in you. And also through that patience, it produces a completion through Christ. And when we come and find this completion in Christ, we lack nothing. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. And this only can be found when we found this purpose in Jesus. In Jesus. Hallelujah. James reminds us that it's possible to profit from our trials. It is possible. And it's needed and it's a must to profit from our trials. It's not that we are to just be happy in pain and you know, I'm in pain and I'm just going to be happy, right? You're going to look weird if you do that. People are going to look around you and be like, what is wrong with you? I want to know how long this will last. But to have positive view, full of hope. This is what he's saying, in your trials, in your pain. Have hope because of what can be produced in your life. So you're not focusing on the trials or on the pain, but you're focusing, what will this produce in me? What is the product? What is the result in these things? And that's what I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to become stronger. And I will end this journey stronger, better, and more complete in Jesus Christ. The trials that God allows in our life are not to strengthen us and to just not to destroy us, to not to just let us go on our own journey and to destroy us and to bring complications and misunderstandings, but to make us stronger. But to make us stronger. When a believer is going through trials and pain and suffering, often people look around and be like, what sin have I committed? What is this punishment for? I've met people like that. I've talked with people like that. Where they have confessed, when they have prayed, when they have done all these things, and then when they face obstacles in their life, they go back and they begin to examine, what is this for? What is that for? And it becomes, instead of just finding joy in the midst of challenges and trials and pain, now they find, what is the punishment for? And that's a wrong view. Because God does not allow me and you to go through trials because of our sin. It is not a punishment thing, but it's part of the faith journey that we are on. Because Jesus was persecuted, so we will be as his followers. And it's a part of the journey, and when we have that perspective, we will see to count all joy, and it will be such a privilege to say, God, I don't understand everything. I want it to be another way. Is there another way? But I trust you. But I trust you. It's a period in our life that we go through to make us stronger in Christ and stronger as believers. When you wonder if there is another way, next time when you wonder if there is another way in my journey, know that his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you going through what you're going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 says this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the focus doesn't come in the weakness itself, but through the weakness, Apostle Paul is putting the focus on the power of God that can be manifested through our weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure. Are you okay? You take pleasure in it? Yeah, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's totally opposite what the world is saying. It's totally upside down what the young generation is being taught in colleges today. It is about to be first, the strongest, the wealthiest, to be on the top. It's all about human strength. But now Apostle Paul is saying here, listen, I've done all of that. I've ran that race and I was empty. It led me actually to persecute the church. It led me actually to fight in my own strength. But when I met Jesus Christ, it turned my life around. And now Apostle Paul is saying, not that I'm just glorying and I am happy or joyful in the trials I go through, but he's saying it's a purpose in it because it brings dependency upon the Lord. It becomes God, I trust you. Every morning, I trust you. Every evening, I trust you. During the day, I trust you. Would you help me? And then he's saying, when I find myself weak, this is actually when I'm strong. He's not talking about physical strength. He's not talking about that. But he's talking about something that is being birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Something that is being birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded, I've shared the story 2 weeks ago, but when we visited Elaine and she was just in her bed, in bed, just waiting for that day and that hour when she's gonna take her last breath. And I was just trying to talk with her and she can barely talk. She can barely talk. But there was such hope in her, such hope. And when we began to sing Amazing Grace, listen, it was skin and bones, just barely having the strength. But when we began to sing Amazing Grace, she just lifted her hand up and was singing with us Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And this is the strength I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how long you go to the gym and you're getting your body to have strength to move forward. I'm not talking about that strength. This is what Apostle Paul is saying. In the moment when you think that, what is the strength coming from? But it's coming from inside of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ to lift our hands in the midst of a journey that is painful, that is full of sorrow, that is full of distress, and to say, oh, but what a hope I have in Jesus. What a hope I have in Jesus. And that's the strength that Apostle Paul is finding himself, knowing that his life is at the end, knowing that he's staring at the persecution in front of him, and he's still saying that when I am weak, I'm still strong. Because yes, things can come against our flesh, but our spirit will get stronger in him. Hallelujah. The fact of that God is willing to display his power in our weakness should encourage us and give us hope. Think about this. This is very important. The fact that God is willing to display his power in our weakness should encourage us and give us hope. It's through those moments when God desires to display his power and strength. It's in our weakness. Often in our weakness, we find our limitations and the need to rely on God. It's not when we're strong. It's not when we have it all together. But we know our limitations in our weakness. And this is when we rely on God to make us strong. To make us strong. As someone once said, that our limitations not only help develop Christian character, but also deepens our worship. Wow. Wow, I'm going to read this again. Our limitations not only help develop us as Christians or a Christian character, but also deepens our worship. And I'm not talking about worship, three songs that we sang in the morning, but a lifestyle of worship to say, God, you're worthy. No matter what happens, you're worthy. No matter what I go through, you're worthy. No matter what I face in life, you're worthy. No matter what I go through in life, you are my anchor. It produces worship in our hearts and in the innermost of our beings because it comes from a heart of gratitude. Not of complaining, but of gratitude. It deepens our worship because in admitting them, we affirm God's strength. When admitting them, we affirm God's strength. We live by the strength of God and a dependence on him. This is the Christian walk. This is our Christian walk, dependency on God. And in my conclusion, I would like the worship team to come and I'll just share a few more thoughts and we'll be closing in prayer. And I hope you are blessed today by this message. Jesus himself was at one point asking his father, is there another way? You might think, so Pastor Pavel, does that mean that I'm not to be honest with God and just kind of like be joyful all the time as Apostle Paul and James is reminding me and to kind of like, whoa, everything is good? No, be honest with God. This is the key. This is the key in Christian's life. It is the honesty that we are to have with him and the communion that we are to have with him. Because even Jesus, in the moments of despair, in the moments of hardships, in the moments of pain, he was honest with his father. He was honest in the state he found himself in. But in the midst of that, he still surrendered to the will of God. And that's the truth. It's not that we're not to be honest. We are to be honest. But in the end of our prayer where we're honest, we're to say, Father, let your will be done, not mine. And that's the difference. It's not that we are to fake it and to make it. And you know, what did they say? Fake it till you make it. I don't agree at all with that thing. You know, we're to be honest with God. If sometimes, you know, you want to just let it, just go, let it go. I remember a few years ago, I was taking a walk and all of a sudden I've heard a voice in the woods. Help! And I'm like getting scared, like what is going on? It's either somebody's being kidnapped, like a student's being kidnapped, or there's a bear, or I have no idea. Listen, I'm talking about the woods, and I'm talking about I was right there. And my scream probably doubled too. Help! I got afraid, and adrenaline is just rushing through, and I'm just booking it towards where help is being screamed at. And then I'm running over there, and I see a person walking around the tree, and I'm looking at them. I was like, what is going on? I'm just praying, she says. I'm just praying. Sometimes we need that. Take a walk in the woods. Right? It's those moments when we've learned the prayer and we know already when to say amen. We already know when to end. We already know what is the next word. We're so churched people that we know every step. But God desires honesty. And sometimes me and you can take a walk into the woods and scream and tell him our pain and open up in our journey, open up of the misconceptions that we have about him, to allow him to know that, listen, God, it's not that you do not know or you're not aware of, but I'm just letting you know that I don't feel you right now. I don't feel your love. I feel lost. And it's in those moments, God, this journey is way too great for me. I can't go on. I don't know what to do next. But I beg you, in the end of that prayer, when you say, God, is there another way? Why am I going through this? You can all do all those things. But now I'm begging you, in the end of the prayer, don't end that prayer that way. Is there another way? But end the prayer this way. Nevertheless, not my will, not my way, but let your will be done. And this is the scripture that it says in Matthew 26, verse 36, 44, Jesus came with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here a while ago and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, oh, Father, is there another way? Is there another way you can accomplish your purpose for me not to go through this journey? But then he finished his prayer of agony and pain. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, you will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same prayer. It's amazing. It was the same prayer three times Jesus was praying. Is there another way, God? You see, Jesus was born with a purpose. And in that purpose, in the sovereign plan of God, was for him to suffer too, to partake of the suffering. He knew this. And that's what I believe James is saying. It's not if you go through trials, but when you go through trials, pain, distress. This is what he's reminding the church, that you were born for a purpose, and this purpose will require you to go through obstacles in life, disappointment, failure, pain. But he says, when you go, let the joy of the Lord be your strength when you go through those things. And this is where Jesus now, he knows of what's ahead of him. And him being the Son of God now, he says, is there another way? But in that moment he says, not my will, but let your will be done. Jesus was honest, and his honesty led them to the cross, and the story finished in victory. In victory. And that's why me and you can be honest. In the end of our prayers, when we're honest, say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And our story is gonna end in victory, because we don't focus in the moment, but we focus on eternity. Hallelujah. In the moments that me and you face in life and wondering, is there another way? You're praying, you're coming to church, all those things are great. But now I want to encourage you. Don't do this journey on your own. Don't be on your own. Don't sit at home and just focus on yourself and your journey. We have connect groups. Please join one of the connect groups. Join with your brothers and sisters. Get out of the house, for goodness sake. You're allowed now. You're not in quarantine anymore. Get out of the house and find brothers and sisters. Come to a connect group. Share your burdens and share your worries. And that's where the body of Jesus Christ comes together to carry you and to help you get where you're supposed to be. Man, that you're here today, don't have an excuse why you can't go in 2 weeks to the camping trip. No. Put all the things aside and you go there. Be encouraged. Be lifted up. We're going to have Brother Herb share the word of God to encourage you. I've asked him to do that because he's almost like a father to me in the age. And he has experience. He has children, right? And I like hearing from people that already lived a life to teach me. Come. Don't hide in your homes. Don't hide in your jobs. But be part of the home groups. Be part of the connect groups. And not only be part, but lead one. Take a step of faith in the midst of the journey you're in. I'm going to lead one. And I'm going to be declaring how faithful God is in the midst of this journey. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for this word that reminds us that pain, distress, disappointments, it's unavoidable. It's part of our life. But you're reminding us that we are to find joy in it. That we are to find joy in it. This joy can be found in you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, if there are people in this room that don't have strength to go on anymore, would you bring the joy of the salvation as David prayed? Don't take away the joy of the salvation. This joy that we find in you, and help us to see the purpose in our suffering. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And thank you that you're reminding us that this journey is not for us to make it alone, but with you and the body of Jesus Christ. Help this church, oh Father, now to connect with other people, to come to connect groups, to have time, not to make time, but to have time, because it's so vital for us to be together and to share our experiences, to share our failures, and to be encouraged and to pray one for another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can stand with me if you would like. And I would ask the worship team to sing this song, Be Praised Forever and Ever. And in the midst of the journey you find yourself in, and if this word spoke to you, I don't have a particular altar call, but if this word spoke to you and you want to join me here up front to say, God, help me not to seek another way. Help me not to wonder, is there another way? No, you are where God allows you to be. And let that now turn it for good. Amen? So if you're here today that you would like to pray with me and just ask God to give you the strength to find joy in the journey you're finding yourselves in, please join me. And we're going to be praying in a moment. But also, in the end of the prayer, say, Lord, let your will be done. And together with the worship team, we're going to sing this song in the middle of the pain, in the middle of journey, in the middle of what I'm going through. Be praised forever and ever. Amen. Give him a shout of praise and join me here in a moment.